Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Revolution 2. Zero is Wael Ghanim's memoir of the Egyptian Revolution of 2011 and the role social media played in turning online outrage into mass street protest. Written from the perspective of an activist, Google executive, and anonymous Facebook page administrator, the book focuses on how the page We Are All Khaled Said became a catalytic space for mobilization after the death of Khaled Said at the hands of Egyptian police. Rather than presenting the revolution as the achievement of a single leader, Ghanim frames it as a collective process shaped by ordinary participants. Shifting communication networks and rapidly changing political conditions, the memoir is both a personal account of arrest, interrogation, and public visibility, and an analysis of how digital tools can help people organize around shared grievances. Its purpose is to explain how a movement can grow when fear is reduced, participation is widened, and anonymous contributions are connected into a larger public force. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how a Facebook page became a protest infrastructure. One of the book's central ideas is that We Are All Khaled Said was not just a symbolic page, but an organizing mechanism. Ghanim shows how a digital space built around mourning and outrage could gradually become a channel for collective political action. The page gave people a place to recognize shared frustration, confirm that they were not isolated, and take small first steps toward participation. This matters because the book treats online communication as an infrastructure for trust building, not simply a broadcasting tool. By lowering the barrier to entry, the page allowed people to move from passive reading to active engagement, which is a crucial shift in any movement. Ghanim's account suggests that political mobilization depends on sequencing first attention, then interaction, then commitment. In that sense, the page functioned like a funnel that turned diffuse emotion into coordinated behavior. Secondly, the four-stage path from online attention to street activism, Ghanim describes mobilization as a phased process rather than a single leap from screen to square. The stages begin with attracting people to the page, continue through likes and comments, expand into shared campaigns and user-generated content, and end with participation in offline protest. This framework is important because it explains how digital activism can become politically consequential without assuming that online engagement alone is enough. The book makes clear that most people do not begin as committed activists. They move step by step as confidence, identity, and social proof accumulate. Each stage reduces psychological distance between concern and action. The memoir therefore offers a practical model of movement building in which participation depends gradually. It also shows why organizers need to think about continuity between online visibility and offline presence. In Ghanim's telling, the revolution succeeded not because social media replaced street politics, but because it helped more people cross the threshold into it. Thirdly, collective authorship and the rejection of the lone hero. A recurring theme in the memoir is that revolutions are built by many people rather than by a single extraordinary figure. Ghanim repeatedly resists the idea that he was the hero of the uprising, arguing instead that the movement resembled Wikipedia. Many anonymous contributors added small pieces that together formed a complete picture. This analogy is significant because it shifts attention away from charismatic leadership and toward distributed participation. It also reflects a political ethic that is central to the book movements become stronger when people see themselves as co-creators rather than spectators. By denying heroism, Ghanim highlights the importance of shared ownership, which can make a cause more resilient and less dependent on one individual's safety or visibility. The memoir's collective model is also a corrective to simplified media narratives that often search for one face to represent a mass event. Ghanim insists that the real story lies in the accumulated actions of many ordinary people who took risks together. Fourthly, power, fear, and the emotional mechanics of mass protest. The memoir pays close attention to how fear is managed and reduced in authoritarian settings. Ghanim's arrest and interrogation are not just personal episodes. They demonstrate how state power operates through intimidation and uncertainty. At the same time, the public reaction to his televised interview shows how emotion can reverse that dynamic. His visible vulnerability helped intensify identification with the movement and made protest feel more urgent and more legitimate to many Egyptians. The book therefore treats emotion as politically consequential, not secondary to strategy. Fear can suppress participation, but shared anger, sympathy, and moral recognition can weaken it. This is why the death of Khaled Said mattered so deeply. It concentrated grievances into a concrete example of abuse. Ghanim uses these experiences to show that political change often begins when private frustration becomes public emotion. The book's analysis of power is not abstract. It is grounded in the psychological conditions that determine whether people stay silent or step forward. Lastly, a realistic view of revolution as an incompleted transition. Although the memoir is rooted in the optimism of the 2011 uprising, it does not present democratic transition, as immediate or simple, Ghonim emphasizes that ending dictatorship does not automatically produce a functioning democracy, and that the change from one system to another is slow, unstable, and unresolved. This is an important part of the book, because it prevents the revolution from being read as a finished victory story. Instead, it becomes a case study in the difficulty of converting protest into lasting political institutions. The memoir recognizes that networks that can mobilize crowds are not the same as institutions that can govern, negotiate, or sustain reform. That distinction gives the book intellectual depth beyond its immediate historical drama. It also helps readers understand why revolutionary enthusiasm can coexist with uncertainty and disappointment. By acknowledging the unfinished nature of transformation, Ghonim offers a more disciplined account of political change than triumphant activist memoirs usually provide. In conclusion, Revolution 2.0 is best suited for readers interested in modern political movements, digital activism, Middle Eastern history, and the practical mechanics of mass mobilization. It is especially valuable for anyone who wants to understand how social media can function as an organizing system rather than merely a platform for commentary. The memoir also benefits readers who are skeptical of simple hero narratives because it presents the Egyptian uprising as a collective process shaped by many anonymous contributors. Compared with many books about the Arab Spring, this one stands out because it combines firsthand political memory with a clear explanation of how online communities, emotional momentum, and offline protest reinforced one another. It is not a detached scholarly study, but it is more analytically useful than a conventional memoir because it offers a usable framework for understanding movement building. Readers will gain insight into digital persuasion, the role of trust and communication under pressure, and the limits of assuming that revolutionary change automatically becomes democratic governance. As a result, the book is both historically important and conceptually instructive. If you would like to support Wael Ghonim, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.